Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January the 29th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We were on paragraph 1, page 16 in Bill's story, starting with an alcoholic in his cups as an unlovely creature. Through one paragraph, he could not or would not see our way of life, commenting on that one paragraph. And today's readers are readers of the text, Sally A., page 164, Susan S.H. Our backup is Trish D. We're actually just going to read the 12 steps this morning. Newcomer greeter, Penny C., and second hour host is Robin L. And 12 steps, Evelyn, well, I'm sorry, 12 steps is Trisha D., and 12 traditions, Anne Marie M. Just wanted to thank everybody for their service for the month of January. You did an awesome job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the reference number for Wednesday, January the 28th, 2026, the reference numbers are 7 a.m. Eastern Time Meeting, 23,164. That's 23164. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time Meeting is 23,165, 23165. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Trisha D. to read the 12 steps. Star one, Trisha.
Good morning, Tina. This is Trisha D., a compulsive overeater from Georgia. And gratefully recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Trisha D. And now I will ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Okay. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Anne Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 16 and the first paragraph, and I will now ask Sally A. to get us started. Please read, Sally.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tina. Good morning, everyone. Really happy to be here today. It's Sally A. in New York, recovered and recovering, compulsive overeater. This is a really powerful paragraph that we're reading this morning. Very serious. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. You know, this sentence takes me back to a picture that I use often to show where I was 2.5 years ago in the food, because I had been in the program. I have been in the program for many years, and about 9 years ago, I, for a host of reasons, just basically quit, walked away, and wanted to try some more experimentation.
Excuse me?
And,
I don't mean to interrupt, but can you read the paragraph?
Oh, thank you. That's true. An alcoholic in his cups, thank you. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. And we're on page 16, the first full paragraph. So as I was saying, this sentence reminds me very strongly of where I had gone back up to 248 pounds. It's my third time that I have had to lose 100 pounds in the last 43 years, while at times strongly in the program. And when I look at these words, unlovely creature, I'm reminded of this picture of me sitting in front of a birthday cake looking about half the size of Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars, and thinking to myself, and I remember distinctly the thoughts going through my mind, I'm going to eat as much of this birthday cake as I want. I'm totally give up. My poor kids are going to have to bury me in a piano box, and I just don't care anymore. I can't fix it. And I had really reached a bottom like I had never reached before. I thought I had reached bottom about 10 times. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous. They're talking about working with people that are still in the food. And they are, you know, at times it's hard work, at times it's fun and it's funny, and at times it's tragic. And it, because this is a life or death situation. It says one poor chap committed suicide in my home. And that's really the name of our illness. We know plenty of people who have died, and they give it a lot of different names, a heart condition, conditions, they label it, but it's often is related to obesity, and it's related to our eating disorder. And it's you know, to say disordered eating or eating disorder just doesn't say it all, because we know that it is, there is a mental twist involved in this. We know that there is a mental illness involved in this. So when it says the poor chap committed suicide in our home, it speaks of the gravity of this illness. And one thing I would like to say that's important to me is that nothing is wasted in God's world. If you have gone back into the food, if you're a newcomer and you haven't even come out of the food, I want you to know that you're not ever starting over. You're continuing. There's a line of continuum. You learn, you grow. That's why it is so important to stay and keep going, because you're not quitting when you go into the food, because we have an illness. You are again starting from where you left off. That's my experience 43 years in this program, is, and that's why it's so important not to quit and not to walk away, because it's not over yet. You continue to grow until you reach an understanding deep, deep inside that you are powerless, that you are not asking God to help you, because you have nothing to bring to the table. Thank you. You have nothing to bring to the table. You have only to surrender, as others have said, and to practice that constant companionship. And I just want to end by saying, there it is again, to see our way of life. It's not a diet. It's a way of living. Thanks for letting me share that. I pass.
Thanks so much, Sally A., for getting us started. And just a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please hold back so others can share. And when I take a list of names, if you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, I can start right now. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
K.K., Massachusetts.
Who was that, Kay?
Gay.
Gay? Okay.
Gay.
Massachusetts. Okay. Who else?
Gianna, Ohio.
I didn't hear that.
Somebody
from Ohio, but.
Ohio. Gianna in Ohio.
Gianna. Okay.
Kathleen in Illinois.
Can I get the initial? When you. Give your last name,
name
F, first initial
Frank.
Of your last. Who S? I'm sorry.
Kathleen F is in Frank in Illinois.
Oh, F is in Frank. Okay. Got K, Gianna, and Kathleen F. Who else?
BK in California.
Okay, I didn't get any of that. Sorry.
BK.
Coming from the UK. Sue K.
BK in California.
E in the UK.
Who in the UK?
Claire E.
Claire. Okay, thanks, Claire. I'm sorry. And who was that from California? I can't get your first name.
BK in California.
BK?
Yes, in California.
Okay. Okay, got Gay, Gianna, Kathleen, CK, and Claire. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with that, and then we'll take another list. Okay. Gay, want to get us started, please?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Gay Kay from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and I'm grateful, abstinent, recovering food addict. So an alcoholic in his cups. Well, me and my food, I have been in this program since 1982, and I have not maintained long-term abstinence, but I have also, at various stages, I have lost significant amount of weight, 60 pounds here, another 90 pounds there. I currently have, since I came back this time, lost almost 100 pounds and still have more to go. But there is something mentally, a mental twist, right? We talk about the mental illness, and finally medical people have put that diagnosis in their reference book. I gave up. I went to a treatment program. That didn't help. I started back up again in our program, and it's the only way for me to survive and live with this addiction. I cannot stress enough the importance of just following what your sponsor lady tells you to do. I want to be in charge, and that's the worst thing of all that I can do is to be in charge. I need to just let go of the control, just do what I'm told to do, and things work out better. Partnering with my higher power, I can't stress that enough. Mental torture and the depression that comes along with being in the food is horrible. That man gave his life because he just couldn't take it anymore. He committed suicide. And how many times have I thought of that? This is just, I can't do it anymore. It is torture. I can't. And I've thought that way myself. But what is food addiction but a slow suicide? A terribly, terribly slow suicide. I couldn't breathe. I was up to 286 pounds, 0.3. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk. If I went to a store, I had to push a carriage because I needed it. I just needed it. I could not walk. I thought I had heart condition, blah, blah, blah. I went to the doctor to make sure that everything was okay and rededicated myself to this program, knowing that I had nothing that needed immediate attention other than my food addiction. And through that, I'm finding life to be much more rewarding and much more fulfilling, engaging with other folks, with making my phone calls, to telling my truth to other people.
Mental reminder.
Thank you. I am grateful for everything that this program has given me, and it is the only way for me to go. I never feel hungry in this program. I have my food, I eat my meals, and that's it. That's the end of it. Thank you so much for letting me share. My name is Gay Kay. I'm from Massachusetts.
Thanks so much, Gay Kay from Massachusetts. Next, we have Gianna, followed by Kathleen F. Please share with us, Gianna.
Hi, my name is Kiana, like Donna. It's Kiana W. in Akron, Ohio. And this particular paragraph and most importantly, the first sentence really struck home to me. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And thank God for recovery. I am a grateful, abstinent, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, you know, when I was in my food addiction, that last relapse that I had, I was just in the depths of so much deceit. And this ugliness. I'm so glad that there was no camera that caught me in this disease. And I just think back to that time where, you know, I lost like $200 of my grocery money because I was trying to hide and get to a place to get these, you know, this food, and making sure that I turned off my, you know, Life 360 so no one knew where I was. And, you know, I lost grocery money. you know, I also pressured my family member to get something from the bakery because I didn't want it to show up on my debit card and my shared, you know, checking account. And I pressured this poor woman, like, I don't know, you know, nobody's business to get this dessert. And I ate it when it was cold and tried to put it in the microwave. And just the craziness, it was just unlovely. I was a monster in this food. And so this disease is progressive, but thank you, God, that I do have a new way of living, and God rescued me. And, you know, and I don't take it for granted because I am powerless, and I know it. I'm so aware of it now. So I'm grateful for a new day, a new way of living. And although me remembering this is not going to do it, I just know that I'm powerless, and every day I want to stay unblocked, clear, and free to hear from a higher power. And so I get to be abstinent today. I get to live in recovery today because I'm worth it, and my higher power loves me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Kiana W. from Ohio. Next, we have Kathleen F., followed by CK. Please share with us, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning. This is Kathleen F. as in Frank in Illinois, and grateful to have the courage to unmute myself and share this morning. It's difficult. I've been in relapse. I'm going to say that I have about 6 days of abstinence right now, and I'm so, so grateful that I can turn a corner and never walk away from this program. And I know our way of life. I'm a recovering bulimic, which is a very unlovely creature. I don't want to forget. And I so easily forget. I forget that I was tormented, and I forget that I would like range through the house looking for something I could eat that nobody would notice. I almost killed myself on popcorn. I mean, I just can't even believe it. I choked to death, and my family was right there, and I'm in the bathroom, like, trying not to die. And I don't want to forget that. It feels tragic just to even relive it. But I have to remember, and I'm so grateful I turned back to the people that I could, and there were two miracle workers at the end of the phone line who made suggestions, and I reached back to an old sponsor, and she was lovingly embraced me and my current sponsor. I don't know. I got like all the help I can get, and you know, our struggles are struggles. I'm just so grateful that I have the peace today. I've been able to pick up all my books again and sit quietly in the morning and be honest. I had to be honest with my husband and tell him what was going on because it's such a secret disease. So anyway, grateful to be able to share that today. I refuse to leave this program, and I'm grateful. That's all I got. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Kathleen F. from Illinois. Next, we have CK, followed by Claire E. Please share with us, CK.
Peace. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Peace, family. This is CK in California, and today is day 473 for me, and I'm very grateful. Man, I referred to this sentence, this first sentence, so many times in recovery. An unlovely creature, it refers to the state of the alcoholic while drinking. And me, I'm a real Bill, you know. Bill drank oceans and oceans of alcohol, and I ate mountains and mountains of food. And so I'm a real Bill. So this is refers to me in the state I get in as a food addict while eating my alcoholic foods. You know, I'm a tornado. I'm unloving. I'm selfish. I'm an injustice collector, walking around keeping scores, taking inventories, pointing the finger. You know, I'm just like Bill, how he was in active addiction. But the challenge in my life is in recovery. Can I be just like Bill was when he got into recovery? You know, Bill became somebody very concerned about other people's well-being and helping other people. Bill knew that he had to help people in order to stay well. And can I be like that in recovery? You know, that's my challenge. You know, my challenge is to get honest. You know, instead of pointing the finger at you, I need to point the finger at me. Look at where I'm lying. Look at where I'm not being my full authentic self. You know, look at where I'm being a know-it-all. You know, before I start talking to you about, you know, what you should do, I should be going to my higher power, asking my higher power what I should be doing, you know? And so in recovery, I have a new design for living. And, you know, I just want to be a real Bill in recovery. I don't only just want to match how Bill was in active addiction. You know, I want to continue to get better and work on my emotional sobriety and pause and be able to recognize when I'm disturbed and take a pause and ask for help, ask my higher power for help. And what is my next, you know, I got really, really disturbed yesterday and I did not pause. I just let the hurt and the pain take over. And I said some things and now I owe an amend. And so I'm just grateful that today I can recognize when I'm wrong and I'll go ahead and make my amends and do the next right thing because I want to make my higher power happy today. You know, it's less about how can I best serve me. It's all about how can I best serve thee. And so I'm just so grateful I'm in recovery today. So thanks for letting me share, y'all. Peace.
Thanks, CK from California. And before Claire shares, let me remind everybody where we're calling from, where we're reading from, page 16 in Bill's story. The first full paragraph, starting with an alcoholic in his cups, his unlovely creature, ending with he could not or would not see our way of life. And please share with us, Claire.
Thanks, Tina. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered bulimic compulsive eater in Cornwall in the UK. Yeah, it's really good to be on the meeting. I haven't been live on a vision meeting for a little while. And this is a great paragraph, isn't it? It describes what I suffer from. So, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And I really have enjoyed the descriptions of other people in the cups. Certainly for me, I was insanely dishonest. I used to lie when the traitor. I used to be really devious, really manipulative. Everything was geared around me being able to be with food, and so I lied to do that. It was about me and food. And funny enough, I was asked a question a few days ago about what my hobbies used to be at college, and I genuinely didn't have any hobbies at all. My entire existence revolved around my bulimia and hiding it and doing it. And then what brought me back in after my last major relapse was more the emotional stuff, you know, and I was pretty unlovely there as well. It was, you know, the things I did with food were pretty disgusting. And, you know, thank God I've had identification with other people who've done similar things. And that's one of the amazing things about this fellowship is I could feel it wasn't just me being freaky. But also, you know, I was unlovely emotionally. I was full of rage. I was full of frustration. I was full of anger. It used to come out sideways, left, right and center, particularly after a binge, or I was completely passive. And there was really just, you know, not a lot. I think it says in a couple of days time, you know, pages time, sorry. You know, if that person has cancer, everyone's sorry for them, no one's angry at her, but not so with our illness, because there goes an annihilation of everything worthwhile and it engulfs everybody else's life too. And that was the reality for me. You know, my family was sucked into this really unhealthy, destructive path I was on. And, you know, I kind of decided that was my lot. I have had relapses in the program, and I think there was one point I decided that this was my lot. I'd learned to live with it, and, you know, I couldn't do this. And thank God that changed for me when I was, you know, willing finally to be sponsored by someone who clearly knew what they were talking about, who took me through the steps as laid out in the big book, who showed me the pathway to the relationship I now have with my higher power. But, you know, I continue to struggle, you know, with myself sometimes, and it can be schizophrenic and tragic, really. But also with other people when I work with them. And it's really interesting now that I've had some time, you know, sort of out of the food, and I have a life and I have a relationship with a higher power and I have connections in this fellowship. And I love the way of living that this program gives me. And I work with people who maybe don't have that at the moment. And it's really difficult to convey that. And I so get it, because I know when I was in it, I wouldn't, you know, I didn't want, could not or would not see the way of life. But I see other people with the food, and to me it is, I honestly don't think it's very common at all. It's strenuous and tragic. And to a certain degree, you know, I'm certainly not stronger than my own illness. I'm never going to be stronger than someone else's. But it is my job now to try and reach out. Thank you. To reach out to people who are struggling and identify, try and offer a solution. I don't struggle with other people. I think, you know, it's just my job to lay out the tools and offer to help. But I will leave it there for amount of time, but it's great to be back on and really good paragraph. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Claire E. from the UK. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you're sharing on Tuesday or Wednesday, please hold back. And with that, we can take about 8 people. So who would like to share?
Tricia D., Georgia.
Kim L. from Louisville, Kentucky.
Alice.
Suzanne M., Warminster, Pennsylvania.
Zan.
Did you get Tricia D., Georgia?
I got you, Tricia.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Rifke, New Jersey.
Rifke, what's the initial of your last name?
R.
R. Okay, I've got Tricia D., Kim L., Alice W., Suzanne M., and Rifke R. What else? Okay, let's go with that, and then I'm sure we can take a few more after this. So let's start with Tricia D. Please share with us, Tricia.
Thanks, Tina, for your service again today. This paragraph really, when I read it, just really made me I looked, and it said where an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Of course, I changed that to a food addict in his bowl of sugary treats is certainly an unlovely creature. I brought up images for me of, you know, when I was so in the food and it's having absolutely no control over certain like candy bars or, you know, either my sugary treats, you know, the food was more important than the people. And I was very self-centered. There was always a hidden agenda because I was always out to get my fix. But I am so gratefully, thanks to a vision for you and working the 12 steps and living in steps 10, 11, 12, to say that I'm a recovered food addict. You know, walking, I'm a walking miracle. But, you know, what made me really, what sentence that really jumped at me was that very last sentence. He could not or would not see our way of life. And I often think that there's, I found working with a sponsee yesterday, a beautiful answer to that one. And it was on page 32 of the 12 and 12 of AA. And it says, what is the matter when someone says he still believes in God but suspects God doesn't believe in him? Or maybe God won't be there for them. He's not going to answer their plea to help get them out of that addiction of food. And, you know, this is a spiritual program. Steps 2 through 12 are spiritual. My relationship with God, with myself and others. And I love it. On that page, Bill Wilson gives us the answer. He said it has to do with the quality of faith rather than the quantity. This is our blind spot. I have to ask myself these very questions. One of them was, we thought we were humble and serious about religious practices, but upon honest appraisal, we're only superficial. I have to ask, am I giving God lip service, or am I just going through the motions? Another question I have to ask myself, did I find that I was asking something for nothing? Had I really cleaned house? So the grace of God, of myself and my own inventory, made amends. And this another question is, had I not prayed, done?
and just the love of God and man, as it says, continues on that page, at page 32 in the 12 and 12, that we understood not at all. Therefore, we remained self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. You know, step two, as it continues on, calls us for humility, true humility, and an open mind, which does lead to faith. And every time I know I go on a meeting, and it says that in the book too, we are, you know, being restored a little bit more to sanity if we rightly relate to Him. You know, let go and let God. We were made on purpose for a purpose. So anyway, I just am grateful for this disease that I have of compulsive eating because, and I'm recovered today and one day at a time, you know, because it brings me closer to Him. There's transformation is unbelievable. As long as I continue to work my program and do the action. And thank you, Tina. And, you know, continue to contemplate these questions that I have to ask myself every day to stay in that design for living, steps 10, 11, and 12. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia D. from Georgia. Next, we have Kim L., followed by Els W. Please share, Kim. Let us know where you're calling from. Star one, Kim.
Yes, my name is Kim L. from Louisville, Kentucky, Eastern Time Zone, and this is my very first time sharing in Vision. I'm very nervous, but I relate to this paragraph. I'm on day six, and, you know, I always, for myself, I've been selfish, self-centered, and full of fear my whole life, and fear drove me. And I was, you know, I thought that I was doing everything right, but in the food, it got me, you know, full of fear and selfish and self-centered. And I had both my parents pass away almost 9 years ago and almost 4 years ago. And that taught me that relationships are the most important thing. But when I'm in the sugar, relationships aren't the most important thing in my life. It's going to get my binge sugar foods. It's hiding it. It's isolating. It's, you know, full of fear, afraid to say what I mean to people. And basically this last sentence, he could not or would not see our way of life. I had heard of Vision, but I think I kept myself from it because I'd heard of the weighing and measuring and it scared me, you know, like restriction or something. But I just want to say I've been on here for almost 2 weeks tomorrow. You all have given me so much hope and encouragement with outreach calls and everything. I love you all. And I'm so grateful for this. And I just got a sponsor yesterday and I'm going to start the Big Book Steps. And, you know, I don't want to let go of this abstinence anymore. So thank you for listening. I hope it made sense to the paragraph. Have a great day. I pass.
Oh, hello.
Thanks so much, Kim L. from Kentucky. Next, we have Alice W., followed by Suzanne. Please share with us, Alice.
Hi, sorry about that. Hi, Alice W. From the UK, a compulsive eater. I hope I can be heard. I just want to say, like, I just heard, checked in and heard about the In Your Cups paragraph. It's such a good one, and I just want to say I'm so grateful that I can share, that you can share on here without days abstinence. I would say I've been in relapse the last few weeks since I got a bad resentment, but I haven't. I've been in the food on and off because I know what real recovery looks like, and I think for me, what my problem is that I want a magic wand with God and I do all the work and then I want it forever, like, and then I don't do any of the work. So it's like I just need to open the doors, and when I walk through the doors, and that's doing all the actions, the steps, sponsor, or service, but I kind of walk through them, but then I kind of shut the door again or just forget to open the door and for a few days, and I just keep going back to the food, and I keep forgetting I've got a disease. And I want to be honest on here because I have enormous shame and embarrassment. You know, people have known me, that I'm here again. I feel shame. But I also, I think maybe in some ways, I actually prayed before. I said, God, should I share? Because it's actually, I was bingeing before this call. And obviously, I'm meant to be sharing because I'm sharing. And I want to be an example of what not to do, you know, and remind those in long-term abstinence and recovery. You know, it's hell being in the food because I forget what it's like, and it is hell, and I'm back to where I was when I was 26. I'm now 49, and I'm still going into one of these shops, M&S in the UK, and I'm doing what I did, you know, and still, and it's like, what? But I know that the step two part for me is that the power of grace for me is I've got to open the door. I've got to walk through it. I've got to do it and stay and do that every day. And it's a daily reprieve. God doesn't magic a what, you know, a wand, because I've got to show up for the actions. Someone the other day said something about recovery isn't free, like in the sense that we got to do the work. And if I don't, I'm back again and again and again. And, you know, I have got incredible connection with God when I work this, my incredible recovery. When I have worked this and done all things. Perhaps, I mean, unlovely creature. I was just angry yesterday. I was like a tornado. I was rageful. I've been feeling resentment, self-righteousness, self-pity, fear, anger. Anger is one of my biggest things. And guess what? I'm in the food. You know, I need the self-soothing. I wouldn't have got to that place if I'd have done the things. So I just need to be honest because I don't want to share with you because my ego is like, oh, no one's going to want to. You know, I just want to finish with this. Like, I don't want to go. Thank you. I don't want to go out in public. I don't want to see other people because I don't know what I'm going to say to them. Like, I can't even talk to people. Like, I take everything offense by everything. So this is an alcoholic in her cups. It's not pretty. And I'd really love some contact with people, although I'm scared of that too. So thank you very much for listening.
Thanks so much, Alice W. from the UK. Thanks so much for your share. And next we have Suzanne M., followed by Rifke. Please share, Suzanne.
Good morning, Vision. This is Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Tina, thank you for being in service and everyone who's involved in this meeting. This meeting has been truly life-saving for me. Because of this meeting, I have become abstinent, and that is a miracle in my life. So this reading, you know, the first thing I hear, that unlively creature, and of course, you know, like all good addicts, like I'm like, you know, that's so negative, blah, 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 you know. And of course, I always think of that we are not, addicts are not, and food addicts are not unlovely creatures. We're wonderful people when we're not in the food. But that's what this paragraph says. They're in the food, and I do get visuals of me eating bags and bags of sugar and hiding and all these bad behaviors that everyone has talked about. And thank you for everyone who shared before me, and especially that newcomer. It's great to hear somebody so excited to be starting with the big book and step work. And then it moves on and it talks about, you know, lip service to whatever our religion or God is. And I'm a Catholic woman for many, many years. And I, you know, go to church when I want. I talk to God when I want. But I have this through Vision and the big book, I have been come so close with my spiritual advisor and my spiritual everything. And, you know, and what's this paragraph talking about? Service, right? Service, all the people on this line. Service, leading my meetings, keeping the keys for the church and opening the door, making outreach calls. You know, I send out little memes every day. You know, just ways to reach out and help people and let them know they're not alone, because you know, that is this the beauty of recovery, is that we are not alone, and we just need to ask for a little help. And and it's one of the few things, just like for me, when I pray to God, that is always answered. always, he always answers my prayers. It may not be exactly what I want, but it's always exactly what I need. And I love you all, and everybody have a blessed day. And if you're in one of these frigid places in the country, stay warm. That's all I have.
Thanks so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. And next we have Rifki R. And then we'll take a couple more. Share with us, Rifki.
Hi, this is Rifki R. from New Jersey. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tina, for meeting, and thanks, everyone, for sharing on the meeting. And this, that line, you know, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. This is something I just have to keep in mind, as the previous person shared. You know, I just have to keep reminding myself what I was like when I was in the food. First of all, an unlovely physically. I was over 300 pounds, 324 pounds. But besides for that, I just have, like, just remember just the way I acted was just so, so unlovely. I was just, you know, I would come home from work every day, just like so, just worn out and exhausted, and just like looking for my food. I just wanted everybody to leave me alone. And I have a bunch of kids. Thank God, each one is a gift. But at that time, I was just like, just wanted them to just do their thing, to be seen and not heard, and just grow up like, you know, just. Whatever, you know, figure it out themselves. Like they should, you know, I thought that they should know. They should just know everything, how to act, how to behave, and what's right and what's wrong without me telling them. Like, I didn't want to have to be. It's just, I expected like a lot from them, and when they didn't perform according to my expectations, which, you know, were very unrealistic, I would. I'd be very upset and very unlovely. Very angry and resentful at them, and then at myself. And he just like had all that self-loathing and hating myself, because I knew it wasn't really the right way to act. I knew that, like, you know, I needed to be a mother and to be there for them. You know, just being in the food, like hating myself for being in the food and hating myself for everything. It's a lot of things that were going on in my life that were, of course, none of them were my fault. It was all everyone else's fault. And, you know, God put me in these circumstances that I didn't want. And I didn't understand why. Just, like, being so angry. And I just have to, like, keep, like, I just have to remember that all the time. Because it was a place, that's my place I do not want to go back to. And I'm so glad that God brought me to this way of life. I can appreciate his goodness and appreciate everything as a gift in my life. And appreciate the work that I have to do that's going to bring me closer to him. And that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Rifki R. in New Jersey.
Thanks so much, Rifki R. from New Jersey. And we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Helene L. Michelle M.
Okay, we have Helene L. and Michelle M. Please share, Helene.
Thank you. I'm Helene, committed student in recovery. I didn't care about anyone or anything. I was just very narrow-minded and really obsessed over food. 51 years later, I've been abstinent for 51 years. I have to remember, I still remember the last binge, and I keep it in mind when I see things on TV that looks very seductive. I think of it because I don't self-soothe with food. I kill myself with food. So it's when I deviate and take that first compulsive bite, I'm off to the races. So I have to remember the end result of the way I was, because frankly, it ain't easy living in this world. Yes, the big book gives us a lot of great suggestions, but there's radical changes going on. But if I were into the food, I wouldn't be responsible for family, for work, because now I have empathy and compassion. Before, I was like the actor on the stage when things didn't go my way, incredibly self-centered. And now, even though it's difficult, I have to let go and let my higher power in. That's it.
Thanks so much, Helene L. Please share with us, Michelle.
What state is she from, Helene L?
Helene, where are you calling from?
New York City.
New York. Thanks so much, Helene. Michelle, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Michelle M. I recovered compulsive eater, and I'm in Arizona. I am really struck by this paragraph, the unlovely, as people have touched upon. Being lovely was what I knew was going to fix me. And I'm also struck by the extremes of, you know, lovely and unlovely. And when it talks about the tragedy and the joy, you know, that's real life. That's not a Shakespearean play. That is real life. All of those things are real life. And then the chap who took his own life, constitutionally incapable, you know, another extreme. And it's me, I'm bulimic. And I have been bulimic most of my life. I've got a little over 2 years back now after a 12-year relapse. And the images that I have in my brain of the unlovely creature started when I was 4. And I still, and there is progress a lot, but this is so insidious that I still think people see me that way sometimes. And in order for me to, so I learned to hide. And so my whole life was built around food, trying to be lovely. And then how in the hell can I maintain that without food? Well, you can't. You know, and I just fell into this vacuum of isolation. And so my work today now is living in real life without the extremes. And it's funny, I can see how much it trickles down. You know, I will either do hot water or cold water. I won't do warm. You know, so I'm recognizing even the minutest extremes of how I lived. And the only way for me to combat unlovely is to do esteemable Ask the Merciless program. And I'm really relating to people who share about this because that's another way for me to get out of isolation. So thank you for people for sharing about their bulimia and, you know, for their lives, how that was and how it is now. Because truly, my sponsor said this, recovery is about falling in love with life. You know, and I'm in that process. And I don't want to change it for anything. I don't want to go back to that girl that was hiding with food in her trunk, in her car, with her head over a toilet. That's unlovely. And because of this program, I get to be lovely if I work the steps and follow direction. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Michelle M. And we got about a minute if anybody wants to take it.
Susan S. I can do it in a minute.
Go for it, Susan.
Okay. Okay. Susan S. in Ohio, recovered compulsive overeater, alcoholic in his cups, brings to mind to go again, to do this again, to share what has been freely given to me, to go bravely and accept that I'm no savior, nor am I a dictator. I can't fix anyone. And whether they pick up what is laid before them or not is between them and their own conception of God. The term let go and let God comes to mind. I can offer what I'm given and let go of the results. I can love them. I can pray for them. But I must not let fear of the unlovely keep me from sharing the joy that is so possible and so beautiful. So very grateful to be here, very grateful for this meeting and to revisit this little paragraph again. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Susan S.H. And where are you calling from?
From Ohio.
In Ohio. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID for Thursday, January the 29th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,167. That's 23167. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Susan, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I sure will. Me again, Susan S. H. in Ohio, compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.